Hi everyone, this is Linda Rennie, the founder and the president of Sanction Love Ministries. The purpose of these podcasts is to bring the heartbeat of Jesus' ratifying love to you through the teachings, interviews, current topics, and much more. We plan to cover deep and sensitive topics to create a hunger to know the lover of our souls, who he is in us and who we are in him. So sit back and incline the ear of your heart to the pursuit of the pursuer himself. Hey guys, it's Megan Stockwell with Sanction Love. I just wanted to talk to you really quick about a hot topic these days. Really, I think it would be a hot topic since Jesus was here on earth, and that would be discipleship. Sanction Love as a team, we have team weekends about quarterly in the year, and we just had one the beginning of May. And discipleship really came up quite a few times in our conversation and in our prayer time, in our team mantle. Sanction Love has a mantle to teach and disciple leaders in this day and time. And we do that by discipling people. And I really feel like there has been a huge disconnect over some generational times. I'm not really sure. I would say I'm in my mid-30s. I'll say that. I would say from the generation under me, and then from my generation to probably my grandparents' generation, from that whole gap, I feel like there has been kind of a lacking in true discipleship. And I would say that, and maybe just obviously not that discipleship hasn't been happening ever. That's not what I'm saying. But I think we definitely can see the fruit of what is present and going on in society and in the world, maybe in your social circle as you listen to this. Discipleship is a really popular thing, but there is a difference. Discipleship is not telling people about Jesus. Discipleship is walking with people in their relationship with Jesus and helping them understand the whys of the Bible and the who is talking to who, understanding context, understanding really the main thing, which I would say is in this gap from the generations of having a relationship with Jesus and what that even looks like. I really would have no idea why there would be a lack, but I feel like at least the people that I encounter during ministry times, that it seems like such an odd concept to see Jesus's face, to ask him intimate questions, to have relationship conversation with him. And if we were to really healthily disciple people in the Bible, we wouldn't just be pointing them to a very helpful tool, but we would be helping them learn how to apply this tool. And I think that's possibly a reason on why it's been so intimidating to read the Bible. People, a lot of pastors and people, really, everyone likes the version or translation that they like of the Bible. And the awesome thing is that there are so many translations to help you understand what on earth the Bible is saying. I am not a good reader of King James. That's all the thous and thou shalt and thus and thines. New King James is more mild than that, but New King James, I really struggle to digest really what's being said. I really like the NLT, which is New Living Translation. I like the Passion Translation. A new favorite is the Voice Translation. I love the Message. And then to really get a real deep meaty is the Amplified. And I would say those are the ones that I really stick to. But all that being said, when we are discipling people, it's so important to teach them the relational part with Jesus. Because otherwise, you do look at the Bible as a bunch of rules and laws and can and cannots and, you know, Christianese that doesn't make sense. I was talking to someone today and I said, you know, to stroke your flesh. And it was a confusing, like they could kind of piece it together if they really thought about it, but it may have rolled off my tongue, but it did not roll off their brain cells. Like, oh yeah, that makes sense. We kind of had to dissect it and make it make sense. And how you make, when you make something roll off your tongue, the person listening should be able to catch it just as fast as you said it. And if they can't, then discipleship should kick in and you break things down. You explain to help them understand, again, the what, the why, the who. And I just feel super strongly like this is such an important part of being a Christian. It's not just saying you're a Christian. Making disciples is not just getting people saved. After they're saved, they need to be discipled. After they're discipled, they need to know what it's like to be a leader. After they're a leader, they need to know how to be a better leader and how to lead bigger groups and what that looks like for them and that they don't have to be a copycat. I mean, discipleship has so many layers. It has so many opportunities and avenues, and you can disciple people one-on-one. You can disciple, youth groups and children's ministry. That is a form of discipleship. Pastors on a Sunday is a form of discipleship in the teaching form. But a lot of pastors do not have literally the time to disciple individuals on a daily basis. They can do counseling. They can disciple. But really, think about it. Jesus had 12. Jesus. And we think we can have effectually 100 people. And I always use that as the example, because if Jesus had 12, maybe I'm good with 5. Maybe I'm good. We'll just start with 1 or 3. I'm doing a class right now. I'm teaching this book called Souls Like Stars. And I have 3 ladies in my class, and it has been so beneficial for them. I'm getting stuff out of it. And we should always have, we should never get to the point where we feel like we can't be discipled ourselves. If you feel like you don't have someone to disciple you, then start looking around at who's in your community, who's in your church pool to pick from. Not everyone is for everyone, if you know what I'm saying. I totally believe that's why, that's a way for us to appreciate other people. I know that my personality is not a good match. I won't say good, but it's not a good match for other people, and vice versa. And so to really take that into consideration when you're thinking about discipling someone or being discipled by someone. For instance, I do not handle raised voices very well. And you might think, well, who does? Some people can handle it very well. Their personality, they can have people be direct and what I would consider maybe harsh, and they can let it be water off a duck's back. I am not that way. And so if I feel like someone is raising their voice and being harsh to me, then I tend to shut down. So I don't need someone who's going to coddle me, but I need someone who's like in the middle. They can give me a direct correction word, but I understand their heart behind it because there's relationship there. Relationship is very important in discipleship. I want to read a scripture really quick. This is John 8. This is the Passion Translation. This is Jesus talking. And it says, so verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "When you continue to embrace all that I teach, you prove that you are my true followers." Verse 32, "For if you embrace the truth, it will release true freedom into your lives." I love this scripture. I feel like it parallels so well with discipleship because we should be leading people to the truth, but how you lead people to the truth should not be forgotten. I mean, putting signs up to shame people, Jesus would never do that. Yelling at people for the choices they're making, Jesus would never do that. Pointing at them, telling them they're not welcome at church, anything that is shaming, Jesus would not do. So I think it's so important that as we point people to the truth in discipleship, it should come with love and compassion. There can be correction. Absolutely. There should be correction. No one is perfect. We all are just needing to grow and be better versions of ourselves all the time. However, when we point fingers and do things out of shame and condemnation, Jesus would never do that, and it's not fruitful. So to be positive on this scripture, it will release true freedom into your life. I believe that every person on this earth wants to be free. No one wants to feel confused. No one wants to feel rejected. No one wants to feel shame. No one wants to feel anger. No one wants to feel like they have a codependency on a person or a drug or self-harm or eating disorders. I mean, there's so many things going on. And we look at people, Christians look at people, and we question the choices that they're making. Well, did you ask yourself or did you ask the person any sort of relational conversation? Do they even know why the choices they're doing is bad? Do they even know how much Jesus loves them? Do they even know why he would want freedom for them and why he died for them? Besides, you should love Jesus and he died for your sins, so stop sinning. I mean, that's how I have perceived a lot of quote unquote discipleship has tried to take place. And it is not effectual at all. It's so grieving to the person. I am sure it's grieving to the Holy Spirit. And again, there should be correction, but to do things in love is really the way that Jesus would do them. You can love someone and correct them at the same time. Again, depending who is discipling who, that also takes effect into the situation and conversation. But it's been on my heart for a long time, and I feel like God is really trying to shift how we disciple people and how hungry people are to be discipled. People want to know about the gifts. People want to know how to operate in the gifts. That's great. Well, let's make sure that our relationship with Jesus is foundational and we have a leg to stand on versus, because then, I mean, the enemy has created a ton of counterfeits for the spiritual gifts. So you can look at mediums. That is a counterfeit for the prophetic. And so people who are not discipled correctly could easily take the prophetic gifts, and if discipled incorrectly, could start to go into the new age direction. So we just have to be really careful about how we're discipling people and how we receive discipleship, who we're receiving it from, and to really always put our heart position in, what would Jesus do with this person? How would he want to talk to them? How would he want to talk to me? And You know, I love those little bracelets. They are, I mean, genius for the person who did WWJD, and it's been on bracelets since, well, the beginning of my time. I just think it's so important to remember, what would Jesus do in discipleship? What would Jesus do with this person? And that should be where our heart posture comes from when we consider discipleship. So I will close with this. I hope that if you are needing discipleship, if you're needing prayer, look towards, first, if you're in a church, look at your church community, look at who your pastors are, look at the friends and community around you. You can also check out our website, sanctionlove.com. We are doing lots of things all the time, but if you need prayer, you can fill out a prayer request on our website. You can also call our office. The phone number is on our website as well. We would love to pray with you to help give some counsel or advice. We also have Rapha Restoration Place. It is our healing branch under Sanctioned Love. It really tends to soul care, healing, and we do deliverances and counseling. It's a beautiful opportunity for that. So, Jesus, I pray that for those that have listened to this in just the few moments, that if discipleship is something that rings in our spirits and we feel the pull, or we feel the desire to be discipled, I just pray that the person or people listening to this, that they would be so brave to take the next step in pursuing what that means for them, how that would look like. And I just thank you that your presence is always there when we ask for you, and you're so faithful to show up. So I just pray over every ear. I pray for clarity. I pray for renewed minds. I pray that your love would just come and saturate the hearts of the people who listen to this. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sanctioned Love podcast. Our desire is to bring the ratifying love, the binding force of love, to individuals with the purpose of increasing intimacy, freedom, and identity in Christ. Please check us out on our website, sanctionlove.com, and all of our social media platforms. We would love you to consider partnering with us in taking the ratifying love around the globe. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.